My theory was that we had ourselves a little fan club. Local people who were interested in the farming community and the local food economy that Harvey was building. They loved the updates that were built into the promotions, but for some reason they didn't want a membership.
Welcome to Email Swipes, where we peek behind the scenes at the emails that catch your attention and earn their place in your swipe file. Every other week, we'll talk to an email expert about an experiment they ran, and in the following episode, we'll dive into the strategies and methods used in the email so you can inform and inspire your own email work. I'm Nikki Elbaz, the copywriter behind winning emails for 8- and 9-figure SaaS and e-commerce brands like Shopify, Four Sigmatic, and Sprout Social. And I know that hearing the background stories to these emails will help you turn pie-in-the-sky insights into plug-and play actions. Ready to make inspiration tactical? Let's go. First, a quick recap of the email we discussed last week that we'll be digging into today.
We'll get straight to the point. Get a free bag of Orem's famous cinnamon rolls when you join Harvey Green. Last time we offered Orem's, we sold out in 2 hours, and this time we're giving them away. Hurry, join Harvey Green now before we run out. Get free Orem's. Get a free bag of Orem's when you join Harvey Green with coupon code YUM. The first thing I want to share is a bit funny as a takeaway, but I think it's an important perspective, so I'm going to share it. It's so easy to look at a brand's marketing and nitpick, and I am totally talking to myself here. I mean, that is my entire LinkedIn content strategy. I collect interesting things that I see around, and I point out why they do or don't work. But number one, you don't necessarily have the full picture. I remember one time we were working with a client, and the email that we were tasked to write had a goal of getting customers to cancel. Yes, to cancel. That was the goal of the email. We were trying to push people away, customers away. Now, if I came along and received this email without knowing the goal, I would have read it and listed all the things that they were quote unquote doing wrong and why it would increase cancellations. So number one, you don't understand the full picture. Number two, marketing teams are humans, with limited resources or limited capabilities or both. Sometimes, usually really, they're really smart teams and they know they're doing something wrong, but they just don't have the time or budget to do it better. Everyone knows the best practice of don't discount deeply always. And we love to hate on the brands that send endless once-in-a-lifetime sales. Often, it is a really bad strategy and it's an intentional strategy that they are doing and it's not great. But sometimes, there's a good reason that a brand isn't doing things right. In the case of Harvey, it was a timing thing. A birthday happens when a birthday happens. Should they pretend they were founded in August to drum up summer sales? That doesn't work. So takeaway number one, before you tear down a company, give yourself a humility check. You're probably right, and that huge flashing 2-hour countdown will reset as soon as you refresh the page. But sometimes there might be room for better judgment. To this note, stay tuned for episode 28, in which I interview a really amazing founder who is full of altruism. The crazy thing is that some people just don't believe him. They think his offer is too good to be true because they're stuck in that judgmental zone. I mentioned in last week's episode that we couldn't just lower our offer because the old leads who had seen the higher discount wouldn't convert. This is slightly untrue because of the beautiful thing called segmentation. Another solution that we could have utilized would be to segment the list by old leads who had seen the deep discount from the holidays or the birthday sale and make a new segment for the fresh leads who never saw that deep discount. Ultimately, this free gift was a simpler solution, but it was something that was on the table. It wasn't a long-term solution. If we split the list long-term, we would have to offer 2 offers for every promotion, and the conversions that we would see from the old leads likely wouldn't equal out to the amount of work that it would generate to have 2 offers running simultaneously. But we were toying with the idea of running a win-back-style campaign for the old leads, a sort of last-ditch attempt to convert them. Instead, we took the Orem's pop-up as an opportunity for a free gift offer, and we did a light research sprint to try to understand why they weren't converting. But I'm getting ahead of myself. That's takeaway number 4. Meanwhile, let's wrap up takeaway number 2, which is to segment your list, but to do so with a grain of salt. At minimum, you want to be sending to your engaged segment, but the segmentation options are endless. Each time you're aiming to segment, ask yourself why. How many more conversions can you anticipate from the work of this segmentation? How much better will the customer experience be? You need to make sure that the work of segmenting is worth the investment. All right, now let's move on to discounting as an opt-in strategy. Nearly every single e-commerce opt-in in the World Wide Web is a 10% discount. This is true even for brands that never discount, which doesn't make any sense. If they're coming in at a discount, they're going to keep looking for a discount. Now, it's true that shoppers have been conditioned to look for discounts as a whole. That's the way the e-commerce industry has been built. But there are many brands that build sustainable growth even without relying heavily on discount. We don't need to lean into that conditioning right from the get-go. So does that mean your opt-in shouldn't be a 10% discount? That depends on so much. It depends on how big your list is and how badly you need to grow it. It depends on your overall discounting strategy. It depends on what other things you can offer. But should you default to 10% just because that's what your Klaviyo pop-up template is pre-populated with? No way. Test, test, test. So takeaway number two, test your offers. Testing in email offers is obviously more complicated than testing pop-up or site offers, but it can still be done. But at minimum, test those site offers. Okay, now for the research sprint I mentioned earlier.
If you love email swipes, you will love my playbooks. They are chock full of inspiration with dozens of examples, color-coded breakdowns, and all the whys and hows and wheres and whats of all the different e-com flows. Even better, they're affordable. One anonymous copywriter said, "In a world full of $1,000 and $2,000 copywriting courses, being able to learn a sequence for $52 is amazing." By the way, you can learn them for even less if you get the whole bundle. Another piece of feedback that I loved, I purchased the Welcome Sequence Playback and loved it. It's an easy flowing read and following it is a breeze. I love how it's so actionable. It takes you step by step through the process, but you don't end up with a templated sequence that sounds the same. I also love how you brought in relevant examples to prove the point you were making. I pull it up before every welcome sequence I write. That's a big point of these playbooks, that you don't end up with the same thing every single time, that you understand the strategy. Just like copywriter Paul Melrose says, since using Nikki's playbook, starting work on an e-commerce email sequence without the playbooks would feel like jumping out of a plane without a parachute. And these are not copy and paste solutions either. They work because Nikki gets you to understand the essential concepts at play so you can solve your own or your client's email problems. Big love and appreciation for what she's given us. Thanks, Nikki. But don't think it's all theory. Holly Williams says, had a quick turnaround deadline on an email sequence I hadn't written in a while, but I didn't even sweat it. I pulled up one of Nikki's playbooks and voila, I had a winning sequence in record time. Nikki's playbooks give you the perfect roadmap for using the data you have to craft email sequences that perform well every single time. Thanks, Nikki. I love your playbooks. And one last one, this one from a founder. I put into action the FAQ email and the 12-hour warning email you suggested, along with two other emails and two texts, and I got over $105,000 in revenue in the weekend from the promo. Pretty neat. Never made so many sales via email. Your book helped me save time to get this done. So whether you want to save time, understand things better, or just get some amazing inspiration, go grab a playbook, or two, or 12, at nikkialbus.com/email-playbooks. And yes, that link is in the show notes. Wish you were in e-com just so that you could grab my playbooks, but you're in SaaS? Don't worry, I got your back with the SaaS Success Pack. Say that 5 times fast. Okay, don't. Just head to the show notes. You'll find the link and grab it there. Okay, back to our show.
The Harvey List had a really interesting subpopulation. A large number of subscribers were super, super engaged. They would read all the emails, but they wouldn't click through. We did see that very clear button copy did better than fun or clever button copy, but still, the click rate wasn't matching the read rate. My theory was that we had ourselves a little fan club. Local people who were interested in the farming community and the local food economy that Harvey was building. They loved the updates that were built into the promotions, but for some reason they didn't want a membership. I was all set to start talking to nonprofit experts to get their insights on how they convert armchair supporters, but then we ran a light research sprint. A survey and a couple of interviews, and the Why Aren't You Buying segment had so many answers for us. It gave us a ton of material and angles to work with. So takeaway number four, answer questions with research. Don't just guess, ask. But I'm going to contradict myself here in takeaway number five. If you're just not getting customers to agree to an interview, or you're sensing that people aren't being honest with you, or your question isn't huge enough to warrant a research sprint, running email tests is its own form of research. Let's take the example of my theory that we had this segment of armchair supporters. How could I have tested this without talking to them? We could have changed their buttons to drive to blog posts with more update-style content. If the click rate went up, that would be a good indicator that they're just there for content. So takeaway number five is remarkably similar to takeaway number three. Takeaway number three is to test your offers. Takeaway number five is to test whatever it is that you need answers for. The difference is that testing offers or buttons or things like that has the goal of improving your metrics. testing things to answer questions, testing for research, has a different goal, which is understanding your subscriber base. In the example of switching buttons from joining the Harvey membership to blog posts, that would have definitely lowered the paid conversion rate, but it would be worth it in the short term to understand what that segment needs and what's motivating them. Two more short takeaways. I mentioned briefly that the email was straight into the point, and that's an important copy principle. The easier the sale will be, either because it's a low price point or there's a lot of desire or pain that needs to be assuaged, the easier the sale, the shorter the copy can be. You don't have to do a lot of convincing. You can just move out of the way to allow the conversions to happen. So takeaway number 6, know your audience and offer and match it to the length of the copy and the heaviness of your persuasion. Last thing, I just wanted to point out again how crazy it is that $5 can equal $50. What am I talking about? Well, the fact that people converted for the free gift of donuts, but didn't for the $50 off membership. Clearly, there were some who weren't around when they were offering the $50 off or the $100 off. Clearly, there were some who regretted not joining and decided to cut their losses and not wait around for the next sale. But the fact remains that we have to remember the place that emotion plays in sales. There is something so psychologically enticing about a free gift, especially for one that's exclusive and sells out fast. And even more importantly, money isn't just money. There is no such objective thing as valuable. Everyone is going to define things differently, and we can use that to our advantage, or it will be to our disadvantage if we forget about it and constrain ourselves to the logical numbers-only dollar amount of something that we're offering. And that's takeaway number 7. There is no such thing as face value. And that can be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on how much you pay attention to it and how well you frame it. Thanks for geeking out with me about that email story. If you enjoyed either of these episodes, you'll probably enjoy getting my emails. Plus, you'll never miss another episode. Sign up at nikkialbus.com/subscribe. And yes, that link is in the show notes.